Penguin Random House Audio presents Crazy Stupid Bromance by Lissa K. Adams. Read for you by Andrew Iden. To Jerry, my husband, best friend, and dirty joke maker-upper. Chapter 1. Noah Logan always knew the day would come when he officially morphed into someone he no longer recognized, and apparently his 31st birthday was going to be it, but only if he didn't put up a fight. And hell yes was he going to fight. He folded his arms across his chest, adopted a you-wanna-say-that-again stance he'd learned from his military father, and clenched his jaw beneath the scruff of his beard. No way. Not in a million fucking years. His friend Braden Max stuck out his bottom lip. Come on, man. It'll be the best birthday present ever. It's my birthday, dipshit, Noah grumbled. He threw his hand out wide to gesture at the large circle of men and one woman who gathered around a table near the empty dance floor in Max's Country and Western Dance Club, Temple. And you can save that pouty thing for them. It doesn't work on me. Which was a lie. Max's pouty face was how Noah got here. At first, he'd been honored and humbled when Mac asked him to stand up with him in his upcoming wedding alongside his other close friends. But then came the bottom lip thing, and the next goddamn thing Noah knew, he was doing all the shit he thought brides were supposed to do. Apparently, Mac's fiancée, Liv, had turned all planning over to Mac, who in turn had deemed it only fair that his male buddies get a small taste of what society usually required of women. Which, hey, Noah was all for. But Christ, in the past 8 months, he'd helped Mac pick out flower arrangements, considered lighting schemes, debated the mixed messaging of a particular Bible verse, and gotten into one singularly heated exchange with another groomsman over whether Max should abandon the outdated tradition of tossing the garter. The wedding was next month, and Mac had officially reached epic levels of groomzilla. And today? Oh, today they were crafting. Mac wanted a handmade archway at the entrance to the reception hall. Which is why they were all gathered at his club at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday in October to make about 500 paper flowers. But clearly it was all a ruse to drop the latest what the fuck. Mac wanted them to perform a dance routine at the reception. A dance routine. Let me put this in words you understand, Noah said. Fuck you. I'm not dancing. Mac glared with all the frustration of a kindergartner who'd been denied a second chocolate milk at snack time. Behind Noah, the scruff of shoes on the well-worn wooden floor told him that Mac was about to get back up. Seconds later, a calloused hand clapped him on the shoulder. Noah pitched forward, and his thick, black-framed glasses slid down his nose.
We dance for Mac, said Vlad Konnikov,
a hockey player they all just called the Russian because he was, in fact, Russian. His heavy accent dipped into the or-else territory, which sent Noah's voice higher into the oh-shit range as he tried another tactic.
What about Liam? Your brother lives in California. How's he going to learn the dance routine if he's not even here?
I'm sending him a video to learn on his own.
Noah pushed his glasses up and turned around and found an entire table of upturned faces, watching him in anticipation of his inevitable defeat.
You all agreed to this?
Friends don't let friends embarrass themselves alone, said Dell Hicks,
a player for the Nashville Legends Major League Baseball team. His thick fingers were surprisingly nimble as they folded a piece of tissue paper into something that remarkably resembled a carnation.
My wife threatened me with bodily harm if I didn't do it, added Gavin Scott,
another baseball player whose wife, Thea, happened to be Mac's fiancée's sister.
Del smacked Gavin upside the head. Gavin winced and quickly amended his statement.
I mean, I'm happy to do it.
The sole woman in the group snorted and dropped a pink tissue paper flower into the box next to her chair. Sonia was Mac's longtime club manager and the crankiest person Noah had ever met.
Give it up, Noah. If Mac can convince me to craft, you can set aside your ego enough for one dance.
It wasn't ego, it was self-preservation. Yeah, he still wore his hair too long and his clothes too casual, but even with his man bun and geeky comic book t-shirts, his former hacktivist pals would never recognize him today. The man who'd once been arrested by the FBI for attempting to hack into a university research center was about to become a tuxedo-wearing dancing monkey at a million-dollar, Pinterest-worthy wedding alongside the rich and famous. True, Mac and the rest of the guys were nothing like the warmongering scumbags he used to try to bring down with his computer skills. In fact, these men were the most decent people he'd ever known. But still, he'd come a long way. He was a successful businessman now, the owner of a growing computer security company catering to celebrities and other high-profile clients. He was officially respectable, a millionaire before he was even 30. He was finally fulfilling his father's last dying wish.
Do something with that genius brain of yours.
A cheesy-assed groomsman dance was definitely not what his father had in mind. He grasped at his last best excuse.
Dude, how do you even think Liv will respond to this? She hates this kind of romantic stuff.
Mac shrugged.
But she loves to laugh.
So the point is to humiliate ourselves?
No, the point is to allow ourselves to be vulnerable in front of the women we love.
Max said the last part with a pointed emphasis that made Noah squirm. It was a low blow, and Mac knew it. But Mac never missed an opportunity to harangue Noah about his relationship with his best friend Alexis Carlisle. Mac and the guys couldn't understand why Noah had kept things platonic with Alexis. And he was damn tired of trying to explain it. Noah reached around to squeeze the back of his neck where his bun had become loose. He jerked out the ponytail holder and quickly twisted his hair back up.
Alexis will love it, Max said, eyebrow raised. You know she will.
And just like that, Noah let his arms fall limply to his sides. His next words came out in a defeated sigh.
What do I have to do? Just show up Saturday to start learning the moves. I've hired a choreographer and everything.
Oh, yay. Mac pounded Noah on the back.
This means a lot, man. And you'll see. It's going to be fun.
More like torture. Noah trudged behind Mac back to the table and dropped into his seat. Sonia slid a stack of pink tissue paper toward him. He mumbled a thanks, but then returned his glare to Mac.
But I swear to God, if there's twerking involved, I'm out.
Dude, no one wants to see the Russian twerk,
snorted Colton Wheeler, a country music star who'd gotten his start in one of Mac's four Nashville nightclubs and was now a friend to them all. He was also Noah's newest client, and he happened to be right about the Russian. The hockey player was big, hairy, and had a tendency to fart in public.
What is twerking?
The Russian asked. Colton dug out his phone and quickly found a video. The Russian's face turned beet red, and he returned his attention to his paper flowers.
No twerking.
Speaking of your birthday,
Max said, bending in his seat to grab something on the floor. He sat back up with a plastic bag and passed it to Colton, who handed it to Noah. Noah peeked in the bag and groaned. A paperback book stared up at him with the title, Coming Home. The cover image was of a man and woman embracing, and the man held a football in one hand. Noah tried to hand it back to Colton.
No, it's bad enough you're making me dance.
Colton pushed the book back at Noah.
Trust us, you need this.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?